Nothing like the presence of the Lord. I want to share from starting out from 2 Samuel 12. If you'd like to go ahead and find that, it will be on the screen too. But we will start here in just a moment in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We are in part two of this message about three kingdoms. And last week we talked about David. This week we're talking about David's son, of many sons, his son Solomon. And we will start out of 2 Samuel 12, but if you would, before we read that, I'd like just a couple moments to just talk before we read the scripture. As we know, if you were here last week, in talking about David and David's kingdom, the Davidic kingdom, we know that God's promise to David having an eternal kingdom was partially fulfilled in his son Solomon, was not completely fulfilled until Christ Jesus the Messiah came. But David received a promise from God that you will have an eternal kingdom. You will sit on the throne in Israel and you will be king, and your kingdom, of which your son will sit on that same throne, will never be ended. And that, as we'll see this morning, over the next few moments, we'll find out that Solomon received part of that promise, but it did not become fulfilled. Solomon was the son of David, yet he was not the eternal son of David. The Messiah was. The Messiah was the eternal son of David. And when in the Bible times you read these scriptures like, people would cry out to Jesus, they would say, Jesus, thou son of David. That was very accurate, because what they were saying is Jesus the Messiah, because the Messiah had to come from David's line, and it had his messiahship or his kingdom had to be founded upon the Messiah, upon David's kingdom. And so that is what God means when he says, your kingdom will never know an end. Why, David, he died. Solomon, his son, died. And the line ended on this earth. But one day there will come a time when Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, will sit on a throne that will never be ended. Amen? And so the Messiah came from David's line through Solomon, the king whose name means the name Solomon. He was given a name. Nathan spoke of this name. And his name means loved of God. I don't know if you've ever done a search on your name. Probably most of you have. And if you have, it's amazing what your names mean and what names mean about people, particularly kings like Solomon or Jedediah. The name Nathan gave him means loved of God. What an awesome name. And as we'll see, that's a name that he shouldn't have had. But God in his mercy. And that's what I want to talk about in talking about Solomon's kingdom. It's a kingdom established on mercy and on grace. So it is this son that came out of a marriage, Solomon, talking about mercy. Remember, Solomon is the son that came out of a marriage that began in adultery. And God chose to use that situation to visit the earth and to cause that line to lead up to the Messiah that came almost 1,000 years after Solomon, 950-something years later. But Solomon was heir to David's throne. And if you try to find out, how many sons did David actually have? About 19. About 19. Anybody here have about 19 sons or kids? That's just the sons. I don't know. Back in those days, man, they really were fruitful and multiplied, didn't they? I mean, I did my part. I mean, I thought five kids is a lot. I felt like, you know, the Lord said, you know, be fruitful and multiply. And my wife is a fruitful woman. That's all I can say, you know. Hallelujah. She's not in here, so we just said, Lord, you know, we want our quiver full. Praise God. And he did that. Some of y'all have us beat too, by the way. 2 Samuel 12:24, the first thing I'd like to look at, the kingdom of Solomon proves this. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. I love that scripture. Called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. What an amazing God. What a lover of all mankind. What a lover of David, who failed him miserably, missed God's plan, got away from everything that he knew. He fell into sin and adultery. He cheated with another man's wife and had that man killed. Horrible story. But a good ending, because we see in Solomon that God forgives repentant sinners. And the Solomon kingdom, the kingdom of Solomon, proves that to us. David proved some things last week. David's kingdom. There's multiple kingdoms. But today, Solomon's kingdom proves that God still loves and forgives repentant sinners. David and Bathsheba's first child died, as you know. She conceived, and this was it started as an affair. David pleaded with God, please let the child live. Please spare his life. He fasted and he prayed and he worked and he worshiped and he got on his face and he wept and he pled with God, let the child live. God didn't allow that. The child died. And God, in his mercy, even though God was displeased with David's sin, after begging for forgiveness, God did, however, in his mercy, allow David to move on and not leave Bathsheba by trying to undo the past. Because, you know, that's a real point that a person could make, that, you know, David's at this point, God has forgiven him. What do I do now? Do I leave my second wife? You know, do I leave the wife that I'm with now? And this sort of goes to prove that God forgives repentant sinners, and when God forgives you, He doesn't necessarily expect you to go back and try to undo the past. God in His mercy allows you sometimes to move on. I don't know who that's for today, but it's for somebody. God allowed David to move on. Did he suffer for his sin? Oh, he did. He greatly suffered. It was excruciating what he had to go through. God didn't do it. He brought it on himself. God should have never had to step in, and he would have been just not to step in and give his mercy, but he could not refuse to forgive David when he asked him to. He won't forget to forgive you when you ask him to either. Sometimes the past just needs to stay in the past. And if you've truly repented and you've truly trusted God and you're truly sorry and you truly mean this when you come before the Lord, God gives you the mercy, like David sometimes, to just move on. Just move on. You can't undo what's been done. You can't go back in the past and try to fix every little detail. God's called you. Just take what I've given you now and move on with it. Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more. You can't fix what's done. You can't undo what's been done. You can't even correct it many times. I've given you my mercy. Now move on. I hope that frees some people up this morning. God forgives repentant sinners. Here's the next promise that we have, or proof of the kingdom of Solomon. And it's found in 1 Chronicles 29. So we've got about four Old Testament references today. We're about around Solomon's life. And this next one, 1 Chronicles 29:25, tells us how not only does God forgive repentant sinners, but God also can bless repentant sinners and does bless repentant sinners. I'm so glad Jesus didn't come to seek and to save the found, but He came desperately searching after those that were lost. And in repentance, God not only offers His forgiveness as He did with David and gave David a son of promise, gave him a mercy child. and promised to bless him. When Nathan said those words, when Nathan said that back in 2 Samuel, which we read, that God loved him. The Lord loved Solomon. That's just an illustration of the tenderness and the mercy of God. But the next thing is God blesses repentant sinners. Down in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 25, we find that that is the truth. It says, "And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel." Did David deserve to have such a son as this? No, in his sin he did not. But in God's mercy, God gave it to him. Why? Because God blesses repentant sinners. I said God blesses people when they truly repent and say, "Lord, forgive me, I'm guilty." It's so simple, but yet it's not. There's nothing quite like feeling sorry for things that you've done wrong. There's nothing quite like it in the world. And I wish I knew one person here that can say, I have never felt remorse or never felt guilt or never felt sorry for something I've done wrong. I don't believe there's one person here like that. I don't believe there's one of us that have ever come close to that. But the fact is, we've all done things we wish we could undo. We've all done things we wish had never happened. We've all followed through with actions we wish that it just never would have been done, never would have put ourselves in that situation. We just wish we could go back and somehow rewind the tape, and we know we'd never do that again. And for some people, it's destroying your present, though. And I'm telling you, that is a lie of the enemy. That is a lie of the enemy to try to get you to dwell on the past. If you dwell on the past, it's going to ruin your future. And that's the lesson that David had to learn. And he learned it. And then when he finally was able to, "Okay, God, thank you for forgiving me," and was able to free himself to be able to move on, he realized God can still bless me, a repentant sinner. And the proof was in Solomon and Solomon's kingdom. There's nothing quite like feeling sorry for your wrongs. Just that sickening feeling. "Oh God, I wish I hadn't said that to that person. I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have thought that. I wish I hadn't have followed through." And the list just goes on and on. But after repenting, here's what I want to tell somebody today. After you have repented, it's time to forgive yourself and allow God to restore and bless you. After God has forgiven you, what right do you think you have to hold on to your sin anymore? Once God has said it's all been wiped away, what right does the enemy have to hold that over you any longer? Many times, God forgives us and we don't forgive ourselves. And that causes us to just get stuck in thick mud and not be able to move until we're able to forgive ourselves. David had to reach that point. And he cried before God. Psalm 51 created me a new heart. "Lord, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit." And we have this picture of David just in agony praying with God. And God was teaching him, "David, you've got to forgive yourself, son." That's the word the Lord would share to every person in this house. The temple became Solomon's crowning achievement. David thought he would be the builder of the temple. At best, David could just create a tabernacle because he had the Ark of the Covenant and he wanted it to have a covering. He wanted it to have a temporary dwelling. But at best, that's all David could do. But God promised that his son would build the temple. And that temple would be beautiful. It would be masterfully created. But the thing about that temple is even it to this day is not standing. But there is one temple that's still standing. And God Almighty has told us that through Jesus Christ, we are the stones of that temple. But Solomon, his crowning achievement became building a house for the Lord. Doing something that God blesses, even though nobody deserves it. Solomon didn't deserve it. David didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but God still, after we repent and after He forgives, He still says, "Now I can really bless you." I don't know what you think about your Father in heaven, But he wants to bless you more than you realize, because he loves you more than you can imagine. Here's the last thing. Let's turn back now to 1 Kings chapter 10 as we wind down here. There's much that can be said about Solomon's kingdom. Much that can be said. But we've kept it sort of brief. Amen. So we've kept it kind of brief, and we're just moving right through. So here's the last thing. First Kings chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants." This last one I love more than the other two. We've found that God forgives repentant sinners. He gave us Solomon. God blesses repentant sinners. He gave us Solomon. God also uses repentant sinners. God used Solomon to speak to all the nations of the world. All the nations of the world, the known world at that time, would send leaders from their part of the world to learn from Solomon. But here's what I want us to know. God forgives, God blesses, but God doesn't use in the sense that we think, oh, he has been used. He used him. She used her. That's a bad, negative thing. That's not the way God is. God doesn't want to use you like some kind of instrument to just spend you, and when he's done, that's just it. That is a lie of the enemy. When God uses repentant sinners like he did with Solomon, like he did with David, he operates through the yielded, not used in a negative sense. In fact, the best way to put that God uses people is to say God operates through them because they're yielded. And rather than just, oh, God used me, some people this day and time can think of that in a very bad way. Could be very negative. If you've ever felt like, well, somebody used me, and carry that over into the Lord, it's not at all what he's talking about. Solomon was used in the sense that God operated through him. God operated through him to do his work. And that leads us to the last reference. It's also in 1 Kings, but it's back in chapter 4. And beginning with verse 29, we find another way where God used Solomon or operated through him to bless others. And this is 4:29. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men." Can you say all men? That's pretty wise, right? "Than Ethan the Ezrahite," and you didn't know He-Man was in the Bible. How many 80s kids we got here? He-Man. Yeah, She-Ra, right? Telling our age here now. He-Man, it's right there in the Bible. I won't pronounce the rest of these names. They're not as fun as He-Man, but, you know, there's a few more names there. "And his fame was in all nations round about." All nations heard of Solomon. Verse 32, "And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl, of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom." You know, God operated through Solomon. And right down from David's line all the way to the Messiah, God the Father operated through them. God operated through David. God operated through Solomon. He used them. And then the Bible also tells us in Acts 9 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God wants to use us as well. Not just like he used Solomon to build a physical temple, but God wants to use us to send forth his kingdom and be stones of a beautiful work, a kingdom work of the Lord. I'm grateful for this here kingdom of Solomon that we hear about. I'm even more grateful that God still forgives sinners who have done wrong. I'm glad that He still blesses them, and I'm also glad that He still uses repentant sinners, aren't you? As Claire comes and we wrap up, everything God does in your life, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Everything. We read all a couple times here, and now we read everything, or we say everything, because everything that God does in your life can be traced back to the kingdom covenant He made with David. You say, really, is that so? It absolutely is so. I want to say it again, in case you missed it the first time. Everything God does in your life can be traced back to the kingdom covenant God made with David, the second king of Israel. We can say that because God promised David, David, you'll have a kingdom and it will be eternal. We know for sure it wasn't David's literal kingdom on earth. We know that God the Father spoke of an eternal kingdom of which many people are citizens. And if we're citizens of a kingdom, we're sons and daughters, and we can trace everything God wants to do in our life, every way that God ever forgave you, you can trace it back to a kingdom covenant God made with David. Every way God is blessing you, it can be traced back to a covenant God made with David. And every way that God uses you, you can trace it back to a kingdom covenant that God made with David. Solomon was, of all the sons David had, Solomon was the one God chose to do many wonderful things. But it wasn't just for Solomon. It was to show David he still had the promise. Some of y'all need to have some Solomons. The Lord's going to raise some Solomons up. I don't mean literal children. We'd have another Abraham and Sarah miracle if I meant that. But I'm talking about some of you spiritually, God wants to give you some Solomons. Amen? To prove to you that He forgives you. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Let me just pray for you right quick. Let me just pray for you all, if you would. I pray for every single person. Every single one. We have done wrong. We have messed up. We have blind spots. We have made poor decisions. We have had problems. And our issues are more than we can number. Many things we'd ask you to forgive, but we forgot about it. But thankfully, in your mercy and grace, when we say forgive all our sin, you forgive it all. Because that's the awesome God that you are. And I'm remembering everyone that's here today, everyone that's watching right now, by your Holy Spirit, cause Solomon's to be birthed. That is a ministry, a calling. Solomon proved one of the reasons David was here. Give your people a Solomon so that they could have that confirmed. This is why I was created. And there's the result of that. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Listen, if there's anyone here that you need to come to the altar, we will just go ahead and dismiss. Like, if you have to go, you can feel free to leave right now. But if you want to stay, you can stay. If you need to come up to the altar for prayer for anything, we'll lay hands on you if that's what you need and pray for you. But if there is anybody here you're unsure of where you'll spend eternity, there's really no sense in leaving this place still not knowing. When you think about it, it's really quite simple. Faith in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross causes God to forgive us. It's faith alone, by His grace alone. And if you're not where you should be with the Lord, I want to ask you to come. And as we close out here, that's the most important question you could ask yourself. It's the question the Holy Spirit has constantly been asking you. I pray for you that you'd have the boldness to stand on His side, on the Lord's side. And I also wonder if there's someone here, you can't get past the past. And I want to tell you what, that's a miserable place to be. I've been there. It'll keep you up at night. Come on, somebody. That's a miserable place to be. But once you get freedom from that, it's like you can walk in authority like you never walked in before. You can walk in the confidence, not in you, but a confidence in His grace. And His grace is sweeter and more marvelous than you ever knew before. Once you realize I can move past my past. I can move past, come on somebody. I can move past what was done to me, and I can move past what I've done. In Jesus' name. If you need to come, come on. If not, you can just feel free to be dismissed. Wonderful service. Wonderful Spirit of the Lord here that has just prevailed. But if you need to come just to this, in the spirit of worship, feel free to come. I'd love to pray with you if you need that.